Dan Favalli joining us from BleacherReport.com. NBA season is underway, and it couldn't get here soon enough for Pat Bradley and many others out there. Dan, you know, our executive producer actually takes off the first day of NBA season as though it's some sort of unmarked national holiday every year so he can watch the games, even though they don't come on until the evening.
I mean, I sort of wish I had that option. I think maybe we should institute some sort of a national holiday so everyone can enjoy the time off just to prepare themselves for what happens at night.
Well, now that I've gotten a college football playoff pass, I need to expand that to 8. My next order of business, of course, will be to make Super Bowl Monday a national holiday so we can keep our hungover selves at home on Mondays and relax, and then we'll come to work on Tuesday and talk about the game. Then the next thing will be to make the first day of the NBA a national holiday. I'd be fine with that, but we got to start games at like 7 in the morning and play them all day, like the NFL is starting to do on Sundays with the games in London.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that. 7 a.m. seems a little bit ambitious, I think.
Okay, maybe not 7 a.m.
Maybe 9, 9:30
yeah, okay.
Might work out like they did this past Sunday.
Okay, how about a basketball brunch? Is that cool? Can we do that?
Mm-hmm. Basketball brunch sounds awesome. I dig the alliteration to it.
All right, we got off to a bit of a good start last night. The Spurs got their rings. No surprise there. I got a couple of clips here I'm going to play along with this, so feel free to jump in. I'll try not to interrupt you with any of my production here. But Tim Duncan last night.
This whole championship has been the most emotional for me. It's meant the most. It's been the most special in so many different respects.
I don't have the clip from Pop, but he said basically the other thing. I don't know. It's emotional. Super emotional. Really emotional. He's such a smart aleck. He can't help himself.
He needs to shave that beard.
What are your odds for them getting back to the Western Conference Finals and representing in the NBA Finals again this year?
I have them as the favorites to come out of the Western Conference again, and I don't really know how you can pick anybody else at this point. There wasn't anyone below them who added enough talent to really make you believe that over the course of 7 games they can beat the Spurs. You hope that maybe the Warriors could contend, but they weren't a top-3 team last year. The Clippers didn't do enough to improve. The Rockets lost Chandler Parsons and Jeremy Lin, and the Thunder don't have Kevin Durant for at least the first few weeks of the season, possibly longer, plus however long it takes them to work off the rust. So they're really in a good place to get back to the finals and possibly win for the first time since Tim Duncan entered the league back-to-back championships.
What did the Clippers, besides dumping a racist owner, what did they do in the offseason?
Their biggest addition, in my opinion, besides the change of ownership, was Spencer Hall. And they did shore up that front court rotation a little bit behind DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin because that was a mess last year.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have proven talent that can carry them in the front court if Griffin or DeAndre Jordan sits down. Starting small forward could also be an issue. They might have to run smaller lineups just so they can have established scorers like J.J. Redick and Jamal Crawford on the floor with Chris Paul. So their bench is still sort of shallow. They're predicated on that starting lineup. You have to wonder if Griffin and Paul are durable enough to carry this team. They both seem to have injuries at some point during the season. And if they really want to take that next leap, they needed to do just something a little bit better. And though they didn't have the cap flexibility, they just didn't do enough to improve their team. That's just the bottom line. And I can't really see them making it out of the second round again this year.
What about the team that the Spurs played last night? The Mavs upgrade a little bit. And could they be a team that challenges the Spurs in the West?
They seem to have San Antonio's offense figured out on defense, which is surprising because they don't figure as a good defensive team. But you're also looking at a Spurs team that can adapt better than anyone. And the Mavericks, Rick Carlisle does a good job of making adjustments, but they lost that Spurs team. We didn't have Kawhi Leonard or Patty Mills. And though it was close, it just makes you wonder, are they going to hold up over 7 games? Was last year maybe just a bit of a fluke? You'd like to think that they could challenge anyone in the Western Conference, really, but the additions of Chandler Parsons and Tyson Chandler and Jameer Nelson, I'm just not sure if it's enough to put them in the upper echelon of the West. I think we're still looking at a top 6, top 5 team at best.
Dan Favalli joining us, BleacherReport.com, talking some NBA. I guess, who else do you expect to maybe sneak in there? Who else do you look at as potential playoff teams out of the West? And we'll move over to the East, which I think is going to be intriguing.
Like I said before, I do think the Warriors are a team to watch with their new offense, and they have a lot of depth when healthy. They're a team that I think could challenge the Spurs better than anybody else in the West, and that's including the Thunder at this point. And if you're sort of looking at fringe contenders, you always have to keep your eye on the Memphis Grizzlies. Their defense is so good with Marc Gasol in the game. Their offense can be stagnant. But if they can sort of have a mediocre offense and find a way to score points, that defense will take care of everything else. And whoever they play, whether it's the Spurs, whether it's the Warriors, whether it's the Thunder, they have the potential to push them to seven games easy. And then it's just a matter of stealing that game seven. So they're definitely a team to watch, as always.
Dan, you have any thoughts on the Knicks and the triangle offense?
Work in progress would be the only way I can describe it right now. They're tasked with not only mastering it, but sort of manipulating it, because it's an outdated system. It's calling for mid-range shots and post-ups that, one, the Knicks don't have a lot of guys who can make, and two, that the league doesn't encourage anymore. Teams are shooting more three-pointers, so you want to see them sort of adapt. And when you don't have the system mastered, that's tough to do. And all along, we've heard them talk about wanting to lighten the scoring load for Carmelo Anthony. They haven't really done anything to do that. There's J.R. Smith and Amari Stoudemire, neither of whom are expected to be in the starting lineup. So it sort of makes you wonder how steep of a learning curve this team really has. I think it's going to be a tough year to watch.
Yeah, these teams have just sort of, I guess, sealed their own fate with the salary issues. I mean, I'm looking through the top salaries here. Kobe Bryant's the highest paid player, and again, that's a legacy deal.
He just signed like a $48 million two-year deal.
That's because, I mean, he feels like, hey, look, I've been here, I pay my deal. But they have no chance to win because they're so hampered by the money. Amari Stoudemire is the second highest paid guy in the league. Joe Johnson, who we love, he's a Little Rock guy, but again, okay. Carmelo Anthony.
That Atlanta contract.
Carmelo's, you know, again, he's a premier player, but number four. Dwight Howard, number five. I mean, again, you got all these guys, and it's like you're tying up so much money in these players who don't contribute to me. Like, where's LeBron in this? Where is Kevin Durant in this?
They understand. You got to split that money up. But, Dan, we're huge Grizzlies fans, but around here you get a lot of Lakers fans, especially our executive producer. Over on it, 22 wins.
Oh,
22
man.
Wins. 22. They win more than 22 or less.
They stink.
Yeah, I mean, 22, unfortunately, is sort of a realistic number.
Wow.
And it's less than they won last year, and you would hope that
okay?
Kobe Bryant accounts for more. But this team is just so injury ravaged, losing Julius Randle
wins.
Going to hurt. He could have realistically been their second-best offensive option if he was given time to develop. So all they can really do, especially after losing Steve Nash as well, is bide their time, hope that Nick Young and Kobe can work something out. But you kind of saw the ceiling
Swaggy
of the team last night against the Rockets, where Kobe tries to do everything and opposing defenses are going to double him, force him in to tough shots. And if no one else is there to score, what are the Lakers going to do? Their offense is going to be bad. Their defense is going to be worse. I don't think 22 wins is unrealistic.
All right.
Low
yeah, anytime you're going to depend on Swaggy P.
Bro, Steve Nash is healthier than Julius Randle right
bad
now.
Bad move. Yeah, I know.
That's not good.
Well,
God bless him.
Steve
I hope he
Nash
gets healthy
40.
Quick.
Okay, here's my mother deal. Rondo, Rajon Rondo.
Oh, you quit? Nobody cares about
traded.
Them.
Yeah, they're the two most popular teams in the whole NBA.
The Boston Celtics are not one of the two most popular teams in the NBA.
If you want to move the needle, you talk about the Celtics and the Lakers.
Okay. If the
nationally.
Celtics were relevant, that would be cool. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, they are, though. I mean,
they're not. They're going
to
win,
your
what are they gonna win 38 games?
Well, I'm saying there are more
homer.
Celtics fans
you're
here.
You're a homer.
Well, no, I'm just saying. In Arkansas, there's more Celtics fans than there are Mavericks fans or Grizzlies fans.
Not true.
Guaranteed fact.
Not true.
This is not an NBA-loving state, so you're going to go with the old traditional favorites, which are Celtics-Lakers.
And that means Sixers.
Rajon Rondo, is he a Celtic at the end of the year?
Well, first, I do agree. I think the Celtics are popular for legacy reasons. I think that mystique has sort of died out, but because of the history, that's why they're popular. In terms of Rondo, I do think he's with the Celtics at the end of the season. I've actually predicted differently many times before, but I don't know if you're the Celtics who you get for him at this point with all these injuries. He would have to come back and be a top three point guard for them to get anything of value for him in return. And since that's unlikely, you're sort of better off letting the season play out, and maybe you get them back at a discount next year. I mean, there's a lot of talented point guards out there. We're sort of seeing these contracts that are signed by Kyle Lowry and Kemba Walker set the bar pretty low in terms of price. So if Rondo's willing to come back at a discount, he's not a bad guy to have. I don't think he can be the guy, but he's still a very good point guard when healthy.
Here's the problem I see with that. I see Rondo and Marcus Smart fist fighting on a weekly basis.
Good. Okay, they're fist fighting on a team that doesn't make the playoffs.
That's fine.
Who's
it's
the best challenge
team?
Who's the best challenge to the Cleveland Cavaliers, the team that everybody's looking at to win the East this year? What team matches up has a snowball's chance in Hades and knocking off LeBron's bunch?
It's the Bulls, and it's not even close after that. There's the Cavs, the Bulls, and everybody else in the East. The Bulls have the defense to sort of combat the Cavaliers' offense, and then they have enough offense to sort of find the holes in what figures to be a horrible Cleveland defense. And if Derrick Rose stays healthy, again, that's the caveat with anything, him and Justin Miller staying healthy, this team can be really good and possibly win 60 games. They could even finish, given that the Cavs are going to have some sort of a great transition period figuring everything out. They could wind up being the number one seed. And once you get into the playoffs where the pace slows down, that's built for the Bulls and the way Tom Thibodeau plays. So if there's any team that can do it, I personally don't think there is, but if there is, it's the Chicago Bulls.
Okay, are you believing that Rose can stay healthy all year? I guess that's really the key there.
I'm encouraged. I wouldn't say I'm confident because of what's happened over the last few years, but I do like how he's adapted his game. His jump shot seems to be a little bit better, but he's not relying on it too heavily. And he's also not going to his explosion as heavily either. It just seems that he's a smarter player, where he used to rely on his athleticism, which could get him in trouble, especially after suffering that first ACL injury to his knee. He's now just relying on his smarts and his intelligence. So that should help him stay healthy. I'm optimistic, unlike last year when I was probably pessimistic.
And he's playing for the best coach in the Eastern Conference. So
call myself hopeful. Hopeful maybe for him. Dan, I appreciate it. We'll get you back on. We got a little more time. We're up against it. But I appreciate you coming in today and enlightening us as we get the NBA season underway. We'll get you in again.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Take care. All right. Thank you, man. Dan Favalli, NBA analyst for BleacherReport.com.
There you go.
How many games do you think the Celtics are going to win this year, honestly?
It doesn't matter.
I know.
Look at, we got one NBA call.
Right.
What is it about?
Notre Dame's always relevant even if they win five games. You're right.
One
over
NBA
under
call,
on 22
it's about
wins.
Rondo and the Celtics.
Over under on 22 wins.
Under. They got to get rid of Rondo. They've got to get, they should have got rid of him last year before he broke his hand. Okay? And he's going to break his hand again when he tries to fight Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart puts him in a pretzel.
Yeah, Marcus Smart beat his butt.
He's a thick dude. That's the future. I'm sorry. Rondo is not the leader.
And neither one of them are as good as DeAndre Kane, who's not playing in the NBA this year, amazingly.
But he's going to make money.
Yeah, that's true. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk horses. Horses.
Why are you ignoring Ronnie from Whitehall?
Because we're up against it, and our Breeders' Cup guy's waiting.